shallow grave on farmland. Maybe that of a police officer.
Sam Tyler lost his life. Murdered. Now it's down to you, Alex, to find out from Hunt's own mouth how he did it, where he did it, and why he did it.
I don't care what Jim Keats thinks. I care what you think, and if you don't believe me, then what's the point?
Oh, my God.
It's all right, Chris, we're all here.
I think we found our grave. Do you have any idea how serious this is?
Yes, I do. It's going to be one hell of a last chapter, eh, Jimbo?
Ashes to ashes. Alex is dreaming.
It's a knockout! And Alex is off.
Come on, man, you can do
She's found the numbers 6, 6, 20. No, Gene Hunt's after her. He's gaining.
The nightmare of her being pursued by a giant model Gene evaporates, and Alex wakes up, slumped at her desk, clutching the photo of the farmhouse. She turns it over to read, "I think we found our grave," written on the back.
Today, Gene. Today.
Daytime. A warehouse under the railway arches has been sealed off.
We think it's a gangland hit, ma'am. Do you know the Hardiman gang?
Couple of cousins, aren't they? Very naughty boys.
Not anymore.
Jean's waiting inside, looking down grimly at the corpses of two men, lying in pools of blood.
Alex, meet Ginger and Nobby. It's all right, lads, no need to get up.
Who's the other one?
No, we don't know about him yet.
Time of death?
I'd say about 30 seconds after their throats were unzipped.
A piece of black quartz has been put into each of the gobs.
Adding a touch of class to your gangland hit.
Did you get a good night's sleep last night? Well, there'll be no eyewitness statements here. That's the thing about these underworld gangster bastard types. Very adept at the Great Disappearing Act. They're not the only ones.
Meaning?
You tell me.
But you started the train of thought.
Oh, come on, you two. You're at it already. I haven't even had my brekkie yet. Oh!
Don't think I'll ever eat breakfast again.
Right, what we do know is that they were trying to jump up the league table. Prostitutes, heroin, should have stuck to sub-post offices. You see, some people just don't know a good thing.
Hey, what's that in Ginger's hand? It's a phone number. It's got a Fenchurch East prefix.
Oh, my God.
You've got to be kidding me.
Did nobody take a pulse?
His pulse was all over the bloody floor.
Chris, get an ambulance now.
What's he saying?
Sounds like a name. What are you saying, mate? Vicky... Drinking?
I've started off a directory of all the Victoria P's in the city.
Why do you think they put Schwartz in the gobs?
It's quartz. Now the bloody hell would I know? I'm not a geographist.
You lot better be working like Chinamen on a bloody railway. Ray, our third man. What were those trousers? Tweed, bit country set for a gangster?
I'm drawing a blank so far, Guff.
Do you want a copper, Guff?
No, but I'd like my officers to know when a person is dead before they tell me. And I'd like answers to a triple killing, Granger, you stupid plonk.
All right, Guff, no need for that.
Oh, what, you think because you stood up to me that you're Leon Spinks now, do you?
What is it that's getting at you, Guff?
I'll tell you what's getting to me. I've been too easy on you lot. Well, not anymore. This place is mine. You lot belong to me. Not Drake, not Keats. Me. Now somebody tell Drake to get a bony, pointless ass into my office ASA bloody P!
Those two should either get a room or kill each other.
It's changed anyway. This whole place feels different and we all know it. I thought it's because I switched to denim for men, but it's something more.
It's not been the same since Viv. Or since Viv went.
I had a nightmare about Viv as it happens. He's on his toad all hunched up amongst all this fire.
Chris, stop it.
I'm not interested, Chris.
Okay. We all know something bloody weird's going on.
We'll write to Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World.
Granger, seven sugars!
Farringfield Green. It's just outside Bolton. I could be there in 4 hours.
I'm ready to deliver my report on Hunt. I'll keep the photo. I should be in control of the information, Alex.
I'm confused, Jim. I mean, can that really be Sam buried up there? Sam asked Gene to help him. He wanted to escape, and Gene helped him without question.
What? So Tyler's alive, is he? Maybe living in Gran Canary?
No. No, Sam's dead, I know that. But he hung on to life here for as long as possible. Except he was dead, and I know that I'm not. Jean can't be the enemy.
The man has a dark side. I mean, dear God, even Julie Andrews would struggle not to see that. What about Sam's girlfriend? DC Ann Cartwright. You know, my office can't trace her either. Maybe both of them are buried up there.
Why? Why would he?
She suddenly looks tearful. Jim puts a comforting hand on her shoulder.
No, look, you and Sam are different. You both challenge this world Gene's carefully built for himself. That makes you dangerous to him.
You're not DNC, are you? Who are you, Jim?
Look, you've done so much to help everybody else around you, Alex. Now you have to help yourself, and that means trusting me.
Later, Alex arrives at the station, Jean staring solemnly out of his office.
What's this?
Every known gang connection to the East End. The Hardiman's put their snout in the wrong trough, and we've got to find out whose.
The third man talked about Vicky P. He mentioned something about drinking as he was dying.
Only thing that'll be on my mind when my time comes.
Right, Shaz, cross-check, see if any of those Vicky P's have got a pub licence.
Got an ID on him. His fingerprints were on Scott Yard's priority list. Walter Tavish, also known as Wally Travis, William McTown and Billy Timmers.
Bloody hell, he'd do the Generation Game one on his own.
Walter Tavish, he's a fence. He specialises in antique furniture.
Not exactly antiques roadshow material, are they? I mean, they're gangsters. They don't go around slicing each other up over a bloody Welsh dresser.
This is a message.
What are you muttering through your lipstick, woman?
These pieces of quartz were placed in their mouths to make an ironic point.
Well, you better get on a blow to the Ironic Crimes Division squad then, hadn't you?
He retreats into his office. Alex stalks in after him.
Well, at least acknowledge that that's a lead, Gov.
Gov again, is it? You made a fool of me last night.
I'm sorry. It was all too much.
Too much? You know, when you first came here, you had it away with some yuppie twat. Your knickers headed south so fast they're into their own rail card.
I didn't take this world seriously then. I do now.
And me?
Take you very seriously, Jean.
Do you know our problem, Bowles? We've lost sight of who we are.
Hey, check this out. Terry and Bamo nicked it from some scrote last week. Well tasty. Yeah, so, you know, if you want to ring firearms, let them know that we've still got it.
Chris is working at his desk.
Did no one hear that whistle?
God,
Ray starts to walk off, then stops, putting a hand around his throat, as if feeling something. He barges into the path of a uniformed officer as he walks off down the corridor. In the office.
That new skip creeps me out. Doesn't even get horny over a sawn off the weirdo.
Chris, this phone number on Ginger's hand.
The number doesn't exist, Gov.
Did you copy it exactly?
Yep. Took it from a forensic of this fella's hand.
This dried blood has made that 3 into an 8.
Here's the OS map of Lancashire you asked for, Mum.
Thanks, Shaz. Thank you.
Jean spots her sliding the map inside a file.
D.A. Drake, my office.
I'm just,
Now.
Shaz watches her get up, then notices a screwdriver lying on her chair and hastily slings it into the bin.
Why did Shaz bring you that map?
Because, it's somewhere in the world I've always wanted to visit.
It's just that your idea of heading north is a trip to Brent Cross. This is about bloody Tyler again.
It's nothing.
Go. Just go home.
What?
If a female officer is causing disconsternation amongst her male colleagues, It is the right of the senior officer to transfer her.
This consternation is not a word.
You, a woman, are upsetting a predominantly male environment.
No, I'm upsetting you because I didn't sleep with you last night. You are the most immature man I've ever met.
You're better not.
Yes, you are.
Not.
Oh, God, give me strength.
Joe, I don't think I can be in the same room as you anymore, Alex.
Why? Because you're so angry you might do something.
This is mine, all this. Keats is about to bring it down around me, and you are trying to rip my guts out. Well, I'm not going to let either of you weaken me anymore.
You know, I've wanted to believe the best in you for so long. And now... now I just don't know what to think.
Joe, I'm going to level with you. It's funny, but, yeah, I think I was trying to impress you. But after last night, well, you're just... you're just a hindrance.
She gets up and walks out, slamming the door behind her.
If Jim Keats comes to see you, you tell me. If you don't, I will consider it an act of war.
Did Sam commit an act of war?
The last thing Sam told me, that he was gagging for a pint. I said get one in for me and all. No threats, no shouting, no violence. Just two mates talking about a boozer.
Now looking more unsure, Alex gets into her car and drives off. The map resting on the dashboard.
That's the number, but they're not picking up. Get your supervisor.
Cuff, there's no reports of any jewel bags in the city.
What about the croppers, the Bartholomew mob? Any of those dirty bastards?
Ah, not a dicky bird. Most of the tasty gangs are in stir. But we got our best snouts out on the street.
Could be foreign. You're onto Europlod. Main switchboard's in Lyons.
Leon.
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Alan Wicker. Let's get our garlic-munching friends to put their horse burgers down and put tabs on who's active.
Guff, Rachel Miller, flat B, number 47 Anton Close.
Good, go pay her a visit. Take Shaz with you. See, this is what I like to see, the machine working.
Oh, Guff, DCR Kate says he's got something for you.
Oh, joy. Lucky old me.
In his filing cabinet drawer, Jim has three videotapes labelled Shaz, Chris and Ray.
Right, I'm heading off to Rachel Miller's. Are you ready, Shaz?
Oh, yeah.
Oi, fax through from Leon. There's only one Euro bastard fits their profile.
Eric Coutier? What's that, Swedish?
Eric Horston, gem smuggling, Amsterdam. His Hollandaise, you swank.
Dutch? You say Dutch?
Unknown associates, Wally Timms. That's an AKA for Tavish.
In Jim's office.
Best pawns on VHS.
Betamax. I'm a sucker for quality.
What do you want to get yourself into CID and watch my team working as a unit?
You asked me for any old files from the yard on gem smuggling. I got intel.
Intel? There's posh. Tell you what, you get reconnoitre into a sentence, I might buy you fish supper.
Walter Tavish once handled gems out of Sierra Leone, fed through London and on into Europe.
What, so Tavish was fencing for the foreign gang? And then he switched his allegiance to the Hardimans, who wanted to muscle in on the action, but they were killed for it. Well, I got myself a contact. Rachel Miller. Something tells me she's going to be key.
That old Jean Hunt Nouse. That's what wound up Sam Tyler. Those grand hunches are yours.
What's this, your packed lunch?
My report. On you. Fascinating reading.
He walks out, leaving the box on his desk. Jean lifts off the lid. All that's inside is the photo of the farmhouse. He turns it over and reads what's written on the back. Then the TV flashes into life, showing footage of the Queen's coronation.
And here comes Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II. By the grace of God, Queen of this realm and of her other realms and territories.
Gov, we've got a suspect. Gov, did you hear me? We think the Hardimans were killed by a Dutch outfit.
Jean grabs his gun and coat and storms out, saying nothing.
Am I invisible or something?
He's had another tiff with the mum.
What, and their little moves dictate the way we do our jobs? Well, sod them both. This is my investigation from now on. A little bit busy at the minute, sir.
Perhaps you could take a look at these. Will you get a moment?
They're not health and safety, are they?
Well, they concern those things. Trust me, they're in your best interests.
He leaves the three videotapes in the office and walks out. Jean climbs into his car, putting the gun on the passenger seat next to him. The door of a house is kicked down and Ray bursts in, followed by Shaz.
Rachel!
A young woman's body's lying on the bed.
Ray?
They were looking for something in the bins.
Rachel Miller was an air hostess with Neverfly Air, business ops from the London East Aerodrome to Holland.
According to her works diary, she was due to fly out at 12 noon tomorrow. She's written in the top corner here, 483B.
Hang on. She's written the same thing on her kitchen calendar. Look, 483B, she circled it three times. Think it's a flight number?
No, it doesn't match.
It's horrible. All that's left of this poor girl.
She knocks over a piggy bank.
Chuffy now. They're all 50s.
Works for a Dutch airline. Knows Tavish, and she's wadded up. She's the courier.
So if she's the courier, but she doesn't have the gems?
Tavish managed to hide them before Austin got to him. So where are they now?
Well, what about this other girl, the one Tavish mentioned before he died, Vicky P? Maybe she knows.
Alex's car streaks along a dual carriageway through the countryside. A map shows the village of Farringdon Green, near Bolton. Alex is parked near the farmhouse and walks up the muddy lane towards it. She gazes up at the weather vane on the roof. Visions of the house cordoned off flash through her mind. Then she's walking up to a ragged scarecrow mounted on a hilltop near the house. On its shoulder is a police epaulette, bearing the number 6620. Outside the farmhouse, Jean draws up in the quattro and slows to a stop. He stares at the ominous, desolate-looking house, its windows boarded up. Looking pale and worried, he opens the driver's door and gets out. He checks his pistol, then slides it into the waistband of his trousers. Alex is now peering at the shoulder number on the scarecrow's epaulette. She pulls off the number badge and stares at it. Flashbacks of the numbers etched into her desk and scrawled on her notepad flash through her mind. She spins round to find Jean behind her.
Someone must have found it, pinned it on. There's a body buried here, Jean. It was on the news in my hospital room. Please tell me it's not Sam.
Right, we can't let this one go cold on us, so chase all your snouts. I want to hear every whisper on Horston. Anything on any grapevine, anywhere, all right?
Okay, Ray.
Chris, I've told you before, I don't want to see a lady burying both her bottoms whilst I'm working.
I'll move them later, Shaz. Turn them face down and you won't see any bottoms.
An A to Z.
48 3B. 48 Hackney. 3B Victoria Park.
Yeah, locals call it Vicky Park.
Vicky P.
Alex is digging at the foot of the scarecrow.
Now stop. I said stop.
No!
Jean's behind her, pointing his gun. Crouching down, she brushes away the dirt to reveal a skull.
It's him. Keats was right about you, Jean, all this time. But I believed in you. More than that.
She pulls at some material buried in the earth and pulls out an ID wallet, brushing off the dirt with her fingers. She opens it, and a shocked expression crosses her face. She turns to look at Jean, still standing behind her, pointing his gun. She gets to her feet and slowly approaches him. Jean's dazed and frozen in shock. She slowly passes him the ID wallet, and he lowers his gun and takes it from her. He looks down at it, silently mouthing some words, as if reading what's written inside. Then, with renewed purpose, he turns his back on her and begins walking down the hill towards the farmhouse, tucking his gun back into his waistband. Alex stands motionless, watching him go. In a derelict room in the farmhouse, daylight filters through between the wooden planks boarding up the window. Jean standing motionless, deep in thought, as Alex walks in. He's holding the ID wallet, staring at the picture of a young copper and the name Constable Jean Hunt.
Skinny. Yeah, he was, a skinny lad, needed fattening up. It was Morrison said that. His mentor, PC Morrison. Yeah, it's Coronation Day. That was a funny one. His first week on the beat. But he had Morrison to guide him. That was until somebody gave the old fella a nip of whiskey, and before you know it, he's okey-cokey with the locals. Young Bobby's suddenly on his own. Someone broke in here. He heard him. Thought they were kids. So he kicks the door open, you know, like John Wayne or Jimmy Stewart. Bam, and he goes. See, in here he's not some snotty kid in a uniform. Oh no, he's Gary Cooper in High Noon, he's the law. Only they weren't kids.
Was a man with a shock?
Didn't deserve a shallow grave, did he? Did he, Alex?
No. No, you didn't. Why didn't you tell me? All your swagger and your bullshit. And in reality...
I forgot everything. You know what? I wish I still had.
Oh, that is beautiful. Corny, but very atmospheric. So, there we are. This boy in a man's uniform, head swimming with machismo and bravado and something else ending in O. Oh, I can't think of another one. Bang! It's over. And you're here.
What is he? Tell me.
Jean, is it coming back to you? Can you help the lady out?
Somewhere where we go to sort ourselves. Coppers.
But you're talking about people who are... people who...
Oh, you've got to admit, when you know the truth about him, it explains a lot. Ego, an immature relationship with alcohol, a curious uncertainty about the opposite sex. Gradually they came to you. Those who had issues with their passing, and you've tucked in their shirts and you wiped their noses.
sorting out the troubled souls of Her Majesty's Constabulary. Ray, Chris, Shaz. Oh, they've been here a long time, haven't they, eh? A lot of issues.
You touch them, I will snap your neck like a twig.
Oh, perfect. A little bit of boyish defiance left in you, magic. This man has had them imprisoned in his fantasy. And I've watched you help them lay their demons to rest, Alex. Just the one thing they don't know is that, unlike you, they're compromised.
Alex.
Sam. Sam came back here after he threw himself off that building. But he knew that it couldn't last. Did you help them both on their way, Jean? Did you? Sam and Annie.
All I knew, Sam had to go. End of.
You helped Sam. Do I mean nothing to you, Jean? I only wanted to get back to my little girl. That's all.
He doesn't want you home. He wants you here with him.
No, I fought so hard.
Been amazing. Listen, you have done all you can to get home. It's just one last thing to accomplish, Alex. Help me explain the truth to Ray, Chris, and Shaz.
He strokes her face softly, then turns to look at Jean.
Placed your trust in the wrong person is all. Hunt will try and twist you around his finger one last time. I promise you, before this is over, he will try and trick you. And when that moment comes, you will know.
At night, at an ornate arched stone monument.
We're at Vicky Park, Ray. There's a drinking fountain.
Yeah, that must be the jackpot. You said Vicky B, I'm drinking.
Chris peers at the stone cherub water fountain. He reaches round behind it and pulls out a small pouch, tipping out a pile of gemstones into his hand.
Bloody hell.
Oh, what a song. I love this car!
The others need to know the truth, Jean. They deserve the truth.
Does it matter now?
Of course it matters, because then I've accomplished what I was sent here to do.
I think we should listen to this over and over again, all the way home.
Thank you, sir. Word is out. Austin thinks the gems are being delivered to the airport by the remains of the Hardiman gang.
They must be bricking it, doing everything they can to make him happy.
Austin takes possession, and we swing in like Tarzan. Like lots of Tarzans in cars. Shaz, you up for this?
Yeah, absolutely. If we want to nail him proper, we've got to get him taking possession.
It's a blinder, mate. Well done, Ray. Ray.
Yeah. Who needs the gov, eh?
Preoccupied, he stands up and walks out. Then he's watching his video on the TV. It shows a dishevelled-looking Ray slumped on the sofa, swigging a bottle of spirits. A regimental march is playing on the TV in front of him. Fighting back tears of anguish, he chucks his warrant card in the bin next to him. Moments later, he gets to his feet, then he's placing a noose around his neck. Watching himself on the video, Ray closes his eyes, as if he knows what's coming next.
Sorry, Dad.
The video flickers off. Chris is wearing a pair of shades and brandishing a sawn-off shotgun.
Very Louise Collins, don't you think?
More like Joan Collins.
Yeah, very good. I knew you had a sense of humour somewhere.
Well, I was going to marry you, so I must have.
Still holding out for the real Lewis Collins, are you?
No. Who are you holding out for?
Ray, what resources do you need for the raid? You need to see it.
Ray gives Chris his tape and he loads it into the player. In a back street, the young Chris is in uniform, taking cover behind a wall as shots ring out.
Skelton! We need backup, sir! Hello, wait!
Don't ask stupid questions!
Just do as you're told! Follow me!
The senior officer blows his whistle, and the young Chris leaps out from behind the wall but is cut down in a hail of bullets. Chris walks calmly back into the office and picks up Shaz's videotape.
She has to see it.
No!
What's going on? Give me that.
Shaz, I'm begging you. Please, don't.
Give it to me.
Shaz sits watching her video. It shows a man trying to break into a car. On duty, the Shaz on the video approaches him. As she grabs him, he turns and plunges a screwdriver into her stomach. She sinks to the ground.
All this time! I felt so angry, so frustrated!
I know,
Jess. I thought it was a job! And he's a faggot! Help me! Leave me alone, Chris!
She walks back into the office, where Ray and Chris are both silent and brooding. Chris puts a comforting arm around her shoulder, and Ray comes over to join them both. In a corridor outside, Jim pushes open a set of double doors and strides through, with Alex and Jean following along behind him. As they reach the door to the office, Jim pauses for a moment.
Right, before we go in, just one little thing.
He headbutts Gene and punches him in the stomach, sending him careering through the door.
All up to speed on health and safety?
Good!
So now you know you've all been denied the truth by him! A skinny little kid! Look at him!
Look at your gov.
He suddenly goes berserk, screaming and rampaging around the office, hurling a chair and smashing things.
Yes! Come on! You want to know the truth? Yes!
He picks up a typewriter and holds it above his head, then brings it crashing down onto the floor. The office is plunged into darkness, and the ceiling becomes a carpet of stars in the universe. Everyone looks up, open-mouthed. Jim leaps onto one of the desks, kicking the things off it.
Isn't it beautiful?
He jumps down again, breathing heavily with excitement. He turns to Alex, who's looking apprehensive.
Oh, come on. Well, you didn't think this was like a real police station, did you? What? You think that they actually work like this? It's his game! He lied to you!
He didn't lie. He'd just forgotten.
We just wanted to make him proud.
Don't you make him into a liar, Jim.
The gov says jump and you ask how high. I have done that before. I have followed a man who told me to jump and I jumped into a bullet. I can't think.
This isn't helping anybody. This is just sick gloating.
It's not fair. I'm 26 years old. I want to see my mum. Chris, I need to save my mum.
She has it. You can all still have that life. You're living one now, aren't you?
No. No, they're not.
You breathe. You laugh. You love. Oh, trust me, this is living. All the life you need.
No.
But I'm offering you life on your terms. Your dreams, your way. I have a whole new department waiting for you. We can transfer you there right now, where you will all get what you deserve.
What, Scotland Yard?
There is no Scotland Yard, Chris.
The important thing is that you're happy and fulfilled. He oppresses you. I won't be on your backs. Bullying.
Get up.
Belittling. And every night the drinks are on me. Right. You've still got something to give, haven't you? You want to forget all that pain. Your dad, the disappointment of a failed son.
Really? What do you want to do?
You can't just go, not like this.
Why not? What is the hair, boss? Mom, I mean, look at it. Look at it, Alex. Shazza, come on.
No. Not after everything.
Do you know why I put that rope around my neck? After bottling the army, I just fell into being a copper. I took it out on a young lad who saw me pissing up at the side of a pub. But I ended up killing him. And my DCI, who was not a million miles away from him, covered it up.
He joins Chris and Shaz at the door. A triumphant smile crosses Jim's face.
I'm not leaving him. Not like this.
Defiant, Chris opens the door and the three of them walk out. Jim turns up the collar of his coat, ready to leave.
He's done.
Alex? All right.
Later, Shaz, Ray and Chris are following Jim down a flight of stairs. Two glamorous women pass them in the other direction. A smartly dressed man hands Jim a bulky portable phone.
DS Cleves, DC's Janice and Michaels. Or Robbie, Kate and Abby, if you prefer. Cheers, Rob.
Sir.
Looking good. Hi, it's me. Me. Transferring three officers from Fenchurch East CID on secondment to my department.
Which one's the blonde?
Abby. You'll get to know them in the clubhouse. Friday nights are cocktail nights. Abby gets off her face. Dancing on the tables. All sorts.
Lovely.
Yeah, I'm here. Well, no worries, Dave. I'm hoping they'll be here for a while, so let's shuffle the paperwork through on it, yeah? I want them on serious crime. They can handle it. Cheers, ears. See you for a pint later, mate.
He holds a door open for them and Shaz is the last of the three to walk in, looking slightly hesitant. Jim watches her closely as she passes him. Alex is sitting with Jean in the wrecked CID office.
You know, when I first came here, I can't tell you how scared I was. Spent half my life studying psychosis, and there I was. Thought I was as mad as a bag of bees.
You look good, though.
I was dressed as a prostitute.
My point.
Then there was this car. And those boots. And you, Jean Hunt.
My real name is Nigel Perkins. No, I'm joking, it's Jean Hunt.
You know, you're the most difficult, stubborn, obnoxious, misogynistic and reckless human being I've ever met.
Come on, surely you missed one out.
And yet somehow you make us all feel safe.
It's over, Polly. There's no use trying to cheer me up.
Just tell me. What happened to Sam? You said the last thing you did was go to the pub. Why?
You don't need to put the word why after the word pub.
Why?
Because that's what you do after a job.
You're Foiler Blagg. You go to the boozer. But is that how it's meant to end, Jean?
Something seems to occur to her, and she stands up and walks over to one of the desks.
According to this, Ray's planned a raid. London East Aerodrome. Eric Horston.
She flicks through some papers.
They're planning to put Shaz in undercover. Arrest them in the act of receiving the gems. It's very ambitious. Well done, Ray.
Why do you even care?
Because we're coppers. That's what we do. But have you got any better ideas?
Yes, and it involves 18 pints, a dozen whiskey chasers, and a barmaid with onkers like a pair of Weimark Zeppelins.
Oh, Gov!
Don't call me that!
The flight's at 12. High noon.
She walks over to the notice board.
Back up. Put Terry on the perimeter fence.
Terry? Any idea how bad his eyesight is? They call him Mr. Magoo behind his back.
All right, Bamo.
Why don't you draw them into the cargo hangar?
Cargo hangar?
Put Bamo and Cotsy on perimeter. You keep them well out of it till things start getting a bit tasty. Keep the pandas well out of it. They can stay up on the apron roll, which... Oh, give over, woman.
He gets up off the floor and joins her.
Here, just west of the runway. This line of trees. Well, you won't see him from there, useless bunch of wooden tops. Why are we doing this, Bonnie? I've lost my bloody team.
No, they'll come. Chris took a radio. They don't want to lose you, Cuff.
Ray leads the others along a corridor towards a set of locked double doors. Jim punches the buttons on a keypad, and they walk through into a lobby with two out-of-order lifts. Then Chris's radio goes off.
DC Skelton, can you hear me? Please respond.
This may not be appropriate, Mark.
Just throw it away, Chris.
Yeah, just ditch it, Chris.
Stand by, DC Skelton.
No, I can't.
You can.
I can't.
Jim presses a button to call one of the lifts.
This is your new life now. Come on, embrace it.
Chris.
I've had a look at your investigation. It's bloody impressive. You're just missing one crucial element. Me. Granger. I'm promoting you to DC effective immediately. Which is my way of saying, get your stocking chops back here pronto tonto. We need that jewel switch. Otherwise a decent breeze can have them Dutch boys clog dancing away out of court. Christopher Raimondo. What is a sheriff without his finest deputies? I tell you what he is, he's nothing. I don't like being nothing. It's not attractive. I need you lads.
Throw that man away.
When it's all over, we'll go to the pub. The boozer. Our boozer.
Ray. DI Carling.
Ray, without full backup, the gov will be exposed. Lift going down.
Get in!
What was that?
Nothing! Let's go!
No, you won't let me down. You never have. Well, maybe once or twice, but, mostly not. See you in the field.
He shuts off the radio and chucks it on the desk.
Chris, Hunt doesn't care about you. As soon as you're back, he'll be treating you like shit. Look what I'm offering you.
Ray, what are you thinking, mate?
Be smart. Come on.
Jim's holding out his hand, but Ray looks uncertain. Alex opens the door to Jean's office and steps inside. Jean's standing with his back to her. She perches on his desk, looking up at him.
You're Jean Hunt. You're their gov. That's what I'm here for. If nothing else.
Thank you.
As he walks out into the office, Shaz enters, wearing the stewardess uniform.
They'll be expecting a courier, Gov.
D.I. Carling, D.C. Skelton.
Sorry, Gov.
Are you all right, Shaz?
About wearing a dead woman's clothes. Seems appropriate, Mom.
Morning.
Morning, Gov.
Right, they're from Holland and they're nasty. Apprehend with rampant prejudice. You seen the map?
Yes, Gov.
Know your position.
Yes, Gov.
Are you armed, bastards?
Yes, Gov.
Right, gentlemen. Saddle up.
At the aerodrome, the Quattro's travelling in the centre of a wide tarmac road. Squad cars fanned out around it. Then, Jean and Alex are hiding behind some fuel drums, watching a car pull up outside an aircraft hangar.
Norston's just arrived. All units sit tight.
Standing by.
It's nearly 12. Could have done with Ray and Chris here.
They'll shoot.
No, they won't. We lost them to Keith's bolly. It's not going to happen.
All units stand by. Get ready for takedown.
Confident and smiling, Shaz walks out of the hangar to meet the four men who've just got out of the car.
Good day, gentlemen.
Hello, Angel. You have something for me?
She passes him a briefcase and he flips it open to reveal pouches of gems.
Hell Moy. I heard my friends in London would return these to me. The Hardiman boys.
Perhaps now, gentlemen, if you'd care to embark.
After you, Sweetness.
Of course. I'll just get my flight back.
Jean screeches up in the Quattro.
Right! Droppen the shooters! Ich bin pretty nicked!
Don't move.
Maxi after Smithson!
Oh, Jesus!
Jean and Alex take cover behind the car as the men blast at them with automatic weapons, peppering the Quattro with a hail of bullets. Windows shatter, tyres explode. As the men screech away, another car ploughs into the side of them. Chris and Ray leap out of it, drawing their weapons and firing into the men's car. Jean turns to look at the smouldering wreckage of his own car.
He's killed a Quattro. He's bloody killed by Quattro.
Oi! I'm arresting you for murdering my car, you dyke-digging tosspots!
The leader of the men draws his weapon, but Jean shoots him dead. Then, Jean and Alex walk over to Ray and Chris.
That's a takedown. Job done.
So what now then, Gov?
Pub.
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 Oh, bugger.
He looks at the remains of the Quattro. At night, the team walk along a deserted street towards the Railway Arms pub. An eerie white light glows in the window.
But this isn't...
The door opens and the landlord, Nelson, comes out. He opens his arms to greet them, smiling.
Nice to see you again, man brav.
Beer's still the same, Nelson.
Of course it is.
Never mind.
I mean, it can't be. It's...
Ray, stop acting the drippy Alison, get around it and get one in for me and all.
Shaz kisses him affectionately on the cheek.
You keep him out of trouble, Detective Constable Granger.
Yes, Gov.
Not coming in, Gov?
No, not right now.
Don't want a pint? A red wine? Or a short? Pint of chaser? Crisps? Scratchings? Or both? I mean, Nelson does Ringo's.
Shaz kisses him on the lips.
I love you, Chris. Not Lewis Collins, you. I'll always love you forever and a day. You got that?
fab.
Jean turns around to look at Ray, who seems apprehensive.
Coming, Ray.
Ray nods, then turns to Jean.
You are and always will be. The Gov.
Danger of getting puffy, Raimondo.
Sorry, Gov.
Jean extends his hand, and Ray shakes it firmly. He then walks over to join Chris and Shaz.
See you in a minute, boss. Mom.
Come on, Jude. I just put on a fresh barrel.
Spoof you for the second round.
I'm not spoofing.
Spoofing? What is that, like spooning?
Look, I love this pub and I'm not taking a plonking if she's going to spoil it.
Don't panic, Ray. I ain't going to be no gooseberry. Blimey, I'm amazed you two never tied the knot.
Well, it's legal in Holland.
Can we talk about something else, like women or snooker?
Come on.
Football, crisps, any kind of pub talk. Now you talk.
Nelson holds the door open and they disappear inside. Then he beckons Alex over with his head, before following them in.
All right.
She turns around and walks towards Jean, smiling softly.
So that's it. I helped bring them here with you. It's over. I've done it. I can go home, Jean. Jean.
She has a sudden vision.
I'm lying in a hospital bed.
Come here, Bowles.
No, it isn't true.
Of course it's not true. He wants you to give up on your life. I told you he'd trick you. Here, Alex.
A scarf.
His money's... It's hers.
She's waiting for you. I can take you to her, Alex.
Jean shaking his head.
What time is it?
What?
What time is it? Show me your watch.
No, it's broken.
It's 9:06. It's always 9:06. That was the time in my hospital room.
Alex.
That was the time.
No, look.
That was the time.
Look, Alex, I...
Hello, Jimbo.
He punches him hard across the face.
Goodbye, Jimbo.
My baby.
I know. Where the world, Alex? She'll be fine. Yes, you can. They got a saloon bar. Can't have you putting me off my stride, can I? I mean, I'll end up wondering if I'm not completely right all the time. Can't have that. Weren't bad, though, were we?
She passes him the police number badge she removed from the epaulette. He studies it. Then looks back at her.
See you around, Bolly Kex.
She steps forward and kisses him on the lips.
Goodbye, Gov.
Reluctantly, she turns away from him and walks towards the pub. He watches her go, stony-faced. She pauses for a moment at the door, then opens it and walks inside. She disappears into the dazzling white light. Jean looks down again at the shoulder badge, numbered 6620. Jim staggers towards him.
All alone. No one to care. Oh, didn't.
Jean grabs Jim by the lapels and pushes him away.
We'll meet again. Don't know where. Don't know where. All alone, Jean. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
He leaves Jean standing alone in the street. At CID, everything's back to normal as Jean walks in. He glances sadly at the numbers carved into Alex's desk, then continues on into his office. There's a luxury car brochure sitting on the desk as he walks in, taking off his coat and hanging it on the coat rack. As he shuts the door behind him, the reflection of the young Jean is staring at him in the glass. As if sensing something strange, Jean turns around, but the reflection's gone. He unscrews the cap on a bottle of whiskey and pours himself a glass. He settles into his chair, picking up the brochure and swinging his feet up onto the desk. Then he looks up as a man dressed in modern-day clothes bursts into the office.
What the hell is this? Oh, where's my office? One of you jokers, give me back my iPhone. Now. Well, who the hell do you think you are? This is my office. Right here. Where's my office? One of you morons, say something. Where's my office?
A word in your shell light, pal.
So it was all sorted out in the end, and no bones broken, luckily. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to knock off. I'm beginning to fancy my supper. See you next week. Ta-da.